Thank you guys for choosing Weekly Politics as your podcast today. Yesterday was the third Republican debate in Miami, and it was quite something. At least the end was. The beginning was very, very boring. So it starts off with, as you would expect, you know, it's Ron DeSantis, why should we vote for you instead of Donald Trump? Nikki Haley, why should we vote for you instead of Donald Trump? The obvious questions and then the obvious responses. Ron DeSantis going, well, because Trump isn't the same Trump that he was in 2016, he should be here because he owes it to us and to stand on the stage and explain to us why he didn't fire Fauci, why he didn't lower the deficit, yada, yada, yada. The obvious answers that you would expect for the candidates to say, essentially, but it got really interesting towards the middle of the debate. The middle of the debate with Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy. Okay, so Vivek Ramaswamy is not running for president. I mean, he is. He has filled out the paperwork. He has paid the deposit. He has an entire campaign team to pretend like he's running for president. So he's going through the actions, but he is not expecting to win any election. He is not going to win any nomination of any single state. He is never going to win the presidential election. I think what he's, at least not this year, I think what he's going for is vice president. And the reason why is because it just seems that way. He's essentially saying everything that Trump is saying. He's calling Trump the best president in American history. He's such a great president. Oh man, Trump, if only Trump were here right now, if only Trump were still president. He does not stop talking like that. It's nonstop. So that brings to the question, why would I vote for Vivek instead of voting for Trump, right? Well, there's no answer for that. You wouldn't. So everyone who likes Vivek, they actually like him simply because they want him to be the vice president. And so if Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be vice president, then maybe there's a chance that he'll get the presidency in 2028. But that's another 5 years away, and no one's running for president in 2028 right now. So it brings into question why in the world he's on that stage. Why was he on that debate stage? And no one knows the answer to that. So we're just stuck with it, you know? But he went after Nikki Haley because he really likes to go after, well, he first liked to go after Ron DeSantis. Then he liked to go after Nikki Haley. I don't know why he switched on it, but he did. And I have to say, his arguments against Nikki Haley, the things he said against him, they just got progressively worse and worse. First of all, the first thing he did is he made fun of her high heels, which is like, okay, he's a dude, she's a woman. What do you expect him to say? So that one I was like, okay, funny, cool, haha, hilarious. And then he goes after her daughter. And that is where every single modest, honest, decent human being on the planet of Earth knows he should not have done. When you go after your presidential your competitor for the presidency, and you go after her by insulting her for the way her daughter behaves, or insulting her for the way she runs her family, that is an issue. And it's not going to put you in a very good spot. So yeah, he did some bad things. I'm not a fan of Vivek Ramaswamy whatsoever. I was at first. At first I was like, it'd be really cool if DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy ran together, you know, be DeSantis president, Vivek vice president. But no, that's never going to happen because Vivek is a terrible human being. He actually is. I don't understand why he performs the way he does. He's a smart human being. He knows how to run for president. He knows what will let him win an election, but he isn't using that knowledge. Instead, he's just going with the flow. He's being a populist, and I'm not a fan of populism, because populism is where you just change your mind based on what the polls say, and that's not a good thing. You never want to be that type of person. Populism is bad because it means you have no actual vision for what you're trying to do. I'm the type of person that has a vision. If I want something to get done, I don't compromise on it. Now, I might compromise on the way there. I might say, okay, well, in order to get here, I have to do this. But it's also possible to do this, this, and then this, and then slowly move it towards what I want for my end goal. Yes, that would be a acceptable compromise as long as I do not compromise on the end goal. That is what the vision for every single person running for candidate should be. They should all say, okay, these are my end goals. This is exactly how I'm going to make America look. The process for which we get there, I can compromise on, but the end goal will never be compromised on. On the other hand, Vivek Ramaswamy, he doesn't even have an end goal. He just goes out and says whatever he feels like based on who the crowd is. If he's in Florida, he might go around and actually talk good things about Ron DeSantis just because of how popular he is in Florida. But if he's in New York, he's going to only be talking about Trump. He's going to be like, Trump was an amazing president. We need to add on to this. We need to build the wall. We need to do more than build the wall. We need to have an invasion of Mexico. I don't know how crazy he'll possibly get if he was in New York, but he could get pretty crazy. Vivek Ramaswamy just changes his mind based on who he's talking to, who's interviewing him, the crowd he's in front of, the debate stage, even the location of the debate stage, who is ahead of him in the polls, who's behind him in the polls, and how far ahead Trump is. He changes his mind like that. And that is not a good thing. I don't like Vivek Ramaswamy for that very specific reason. Now, my favorite candidate is still Ron DeSantis. My second favorite candidate is still Nikki Haley. And the reason why is because Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley are the only two people who are actually running for president. Nikki Haley's running for president, and she's like, okay. She embraces the fact that she has an end goal for the country. The end goal for the country is to destroy the Chinese Communist Party, bring America back on track to at least 3% GDP growth quarterly, so that's 12% annually, and lower inflation. That is her set goal for the end of her four-year term, and also increase the size of the military and power of the military in order to put the CCP back in its place. That is an excellent end goal, but she embraces the fact that she not only has this end goal, but she can compromise on how to get to that end goal. So yes, good. I'm glad she does that. I like DeSantis more for one specific reason, because Nikki Haley was governor of South Carolina, and when she was governor of South Carolina, she did an okay-ish job. She had an end goal for South Carolina, she completed the end goal, and she compromised on the way to get the end goal, but she never compromised on the end goal, which is good. But I don't necessarily entirely like the end goal. She was pretty wavy when it came to trans laws, like prohibiting trans sex surgeries on children, or what books you can allow in school, or bathrooms in school, things like that. She was pretty on. And okay, I understand she was governor during a pretty early time of when this issue arose, so it's understandable why she probably was wavy at first. But then the question comes to be, would she be wavy about it again as president of the United States? And because none of those social issues are in her end goal, she probably would be very wavy about that stuff. On the other hand, we have Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is willing to compromise, but not as much. So he has an end goal for this country, and the end goal for the country is actually extremely similar to Nikki Haley's. But he doesn't want to just do that. He doesn't want to just make America look better. He wants to make America, to quote Donald Trump, make America great again. But not in the sense that, yeah, we have 4 years of greatness. In the sense that we revived this country. We revived the national spirit. So you hear Vivek Ramaswamy talking about how he wants to revive the soul of the country. I mean, that's a great thing, that you should revive the soul of the country, but he never talks about how he's going to get there. DeSantis literally says, we're going to do this and this and this, and that should lead to the revival of the country as a whole. So he not only has an end goal for the country, but he also says how he plans on getting to this end goal of the country. And on top of that, he was governor of Florida. And Florida, he still is governor of Florida. He is serving his second term, the final term that he's allowed to serve as governor of Florida. And the Floridians love him. They love him. Now, if you might ask me, why in the world does he not have a higher approval rating than, say, the governor of Kentucky? Well, that's because of two reasons. DeSantis is a very polarizing figure. And I mean that in a very good way, but also it depends on how he's a very good way, but also disappointing. So the reason why it's good is because polarizing does not necessarily mean everyone hates him. It means you either like him or you dislike him. There isn't a single person in the state of Florida that has an undecided opinion on Ron DeSantis. That is why he doesn't have a higher approval rating than the governor of Kentucky. And the second reason why It's because the people who dislike him don't actually dislike him because of the policies he's passed. They dislike him because of the things he said. He's against transgenderism, especially for children. He's against the LGBTQ. He hasn't passed laws against the LGBTQ, but he's religiously against it. So you can see where that goes into it. And for some reason, the left thinks that if you're religiously against something, that means you want to pass laws to ban it. And no, that's not entirely true. We live in America, and I understand that. I'm religiously against gay marriage. I am not going to ban gay marriage because of a few... Well, first of all, it's impossible because of the Supreme Court case. But second of all, because this is the United States of America, I recognize, yes, while this country does run on Christian principles, banning gay marriage goes a little bit too far. So with DeSantis, people mostly just dislike him because of his personal beliefs. There are a few people who dislike him because of what he's actually done, even though it doesn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. They just pretend it does, and then they get mad about it. It's the victimization world that we live in now. And that's the main reason why I like DeSantis. Everything he says he's going to do, he has basically already done to the highest extent he possibly can as governor of the state of Florida. Obviously, he can't increase the military of the state of Florida. I mean, he could buy a couple more F-35s for the National Guard, but what's that going to do? They're not fighting China, if you get what I'm saying. So Ron DeSantis did very well in that debate. He's been, in the polls, he's been very steady. He hasn't... This is the disappointing part of it. He hasn't shot through the polls. And I think the reason why he hasn't shot through the polls is because when he first announced he was running for president, his idea was, I'm going to take voters away from Trump. And he did. He took some voters away from Trump. About 10%, well, 10% of the Republican base away from Trump. So that's about 60% of his supporters were originally Trump supporters. And the reason why he took those voters away from Trump is not because these voters are sick of Trump, but rather because these voters are not the cultish voters. The cultish voters are the voters that are essentially say, I want Trump and only Trump to be president in 2024. I don't want to hear anything else, just Trump. Those are the cultish voters. And so what DeSantis figured out very quickly is that the cult does exist, and it is impossible to break up the cult. So what he's turned to now is, I need to keep the Trump voters that I did manage to get. I need to keep them and gain voters instead of from Trump, from Nikki Haley, from Vivek Ramaswamy, from Tim Scott, from Chris Christie. Who, by the way, Tim Scott and Chris Christie, I would not be surprised if they drop out within the next 2 weeks because they're going nowhere. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit here. So DeSantis decided he needs to hold on to those votes. So what he started out with saying is, hey, Trump should be here, but he's not here. So he's starting with that. That's the retaining statement. I need to retain the Trump voters I have, so I'm going to remind them why Trump is not better than me. And then the second part is, everyone who's not voting for Trump isn't voting for Trump because they think there's a better option out there. And so DeSantis' entire campaign where he says, look at Florida, that is how he's trying to gain those voters away from Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Chris Christie, and Vivek Ramaswamy. He's saying, I have done better. I can do way better than any of these guys. And if you want proof, look at my beautiful state of Florida. And really, like, actually look at the beautiful state of Florida. It is an incredible state. It is growing like no rate you have ever seen before. Okay, here's the interesting part about that real quick. If you look on just about any social media website, Twitter especially, and you go through the feeds and you find where the Trump supporters like to hang out and talk to each other and whatnot, and you scroll through what they're saying, and you'll find memes with little bubbles. And in the bubbles, they'll have explanations of what Trump did versus what DeSantis did. And they'll blame DeSantis, and they'll say, Florida has the highest inflation rate out of every single state in the nation. And these are Republicans going against Ron DeSantis. I'm sorry, I'm not going to call them Republicans. These are cultish Trump members coming after Ron DeSantis. Why? Well, the reason why is because Trump went after Ron DeSantis, so now everyone has to go after Ron DeSantis. I mean, all their cult members do. So they do. And I'm going to address that claim real quick. That claim that Ron DeSantis, under him, Florida had the highest rate of inflation in the entire nation, Not even close to being true. Florida's rate of inflation has been within the average rate of inflation, the 2% to 3% part. That rate of inflation, 2 to 3%, is supposed to happen according to the whoever runs inflation, Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve. Yeah, they raise interest rates to control inflation. So Federal Reserve, according to the Federal Reserve, that is what inflation is supposed to look like. Florida has been incredibly good on the rate of inflation, not bad. And the second thing that they go after Florida for is, under Ron DeSantis, the insurance rates went way up. And yes, there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, there were a couple hurricanes under Ron DeSantis, and when the hurricanes strike Florida, insurance rates go up. And that's obvious, because let's say you're in Florida, and your house, or the entire coast of Florida, gets wiped out by a hurricane. No, everyone is going to their insurance to pay for their new house. Insurance rates have to go up in order to help pay for those new houses. It's common sense. It's not a DeSantis problem. It's just the way Florida as a physical state works. It's just the weather of Florida. It's just how it goes. It's not a good thing, but it's just the way it goes. That you can't blame a politician for a hurricane. Unless you're some extreme environmentalist who thinks that me driving my car to Dort every day makes hurricanes happen on the south part of Florida, which it doesn't, but we can get into that in a whole nother day. So DeSantis is like, okay, I can't take more Trump voters. I'm just going to take voters from Vivek, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, and Chris Christie. And I'm going to retain the Trump voters that I did take. And Nikki Haley is like, okay, I don't care who I take voters from, but I need to start taking voters. So that's what her entire debate spiel. I'm going to call it the spiel. Her entire debate spiel was all about. It's, I need to find a way to get new voters. I've been rising the polls lately, and I know those votes have been coming from mostly the people who have dropped out or the people who are no longer in the debates, which are my Doug Burgum. Give me a second. I got to think about this for a second. Doug Burgum, Mike Pence. Those two people are the main people who provided Nikki Haley with her rise in the polls. When they went down in the polls, she went up in the polls. It is just the way it works. Now, what's really interesting is her entire way of gaining these new votes is by acting as if Trump isn't in the race. Yes, she started out saying, with her opening statement, saying, Trump was the right president at the right time, but he is no longer the right president, and it is no longer the right time. Yes, she started out saying that, but the rest of her entire debate performance had nothing to do with Trump. It was pretending like there is no juggernaut called Donald Trump at the head of the race. So it's pretending like this is back in 2016 when everyone has an equal chance of becoming president. That is what it was, essentially. And I'm not going to say that was a bad idea. It wasn't a bad idea at all. It was kind of interesting to watch, actually. I do think that means her performance is going to start stagnating. She's at around 10 to 12% in the polls right now. That polling number, I don't think it's going to go up or down ever again. Now, we've talked about Vivek, we've talked about DeSantis, and we've talked about Haley. Let's talk about, very quickly, Chris Christie. Chris Christie is literally only the living meme against Donald Trump. Every single meme that was posted on the internet that went against Donald Trump or people like Donald Trump somehow came to life, and that thing that came to life is Chris Christie. Chris Christie, it just despises Donald Trump, and that is his entire campaign, that was his entire debate performance, even though he didn't talk very much. That is essentially everything he said, which was, okay, yeah, whatever. People are getting kind of sick of him. They're like, okay, I understand you don't like Donald Trump. Why should I vote for you instead of Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott even? And so he started out around 7% in the polls, and now he's down to about 2.5%. So he's going nowhere. He's going to drop out hopefully soon, but we'll talk about that in a second. I keep saying that. I have one more person to go over. Tim Scott. Tim Scott is I don't have a clue why he is on that stage. He knows he's not getting the nomination. He knows he is not going to win the presidency. He knows that for a fact. But yet for some reason, he manages to qualify for the debates and continue to show up at the debate stage and say his opinion, which good, he should say his opinion, but I don't understand why he's still running for president. He knows he won't win. He should drop out and he should run another time. I think he's a guess, a theory. I think right now what he's doing is not building momentum for himself this next year for the next election. I think what he's doing is building a momentum for himself in a coming election where he's going to try to win the election. That's what I think is happening, but I really don't have a clue because don't get me wrong, Tim Scott's a great guy. I like a lot of his policies, but he's going nowhere this election, and I really don't have any understanding of why he's still in the race. That theory is the only thing I've got, and it's just a theory. It could all be wrong. So that's where I'm at. Yeah. Not a pretty place, but it's where I'm at. Okay, so let's talk about who's going to drop out. Ron DeSantis is 100% certain not dropping out until after the Iowa caucus. I am 99.9% certain on this for one reason only. He thinks he's going to win Iowa. I don't know if I'm also 67% certain that he's going to win Iowa. I'm fairly certain he'll win it. But I don't know if he'll drop out if he loses Iowa or if he'll stay in the race until after New Hampshire and see what happens. We'll have to find out. Nikki Haley, if she loses New Hampshire and Iowa, I think she'll drop out. But if she wins one of those two, she's staying until after South Carolina because South Carolina is her state. I have no clue when Vivek Ramaswamy is dropping out. No clue whatsoever. He could stay in forever and ever if he wanted to. He's self-funded. As long as he has money, he can keep running for president. So what the one part that scares me about this is if DeSantis wins almost every single state, and then it's just the last half, the last 25 states that have to nominate a person, and it's between Trump, DeSantis, and Vivek, my fear is that Vivek pulls votes from DeSantis. And that would not be good, because that would ruin the entire thing for DeSantis. It could go from an almost guaranteed DeSantis victory to a guaranteed Trump victory. And I do not want to see that happening. So I hope that Vivek drops out after New Hampshire. Now the third person, or the fourth person, sorry, that I'm going to talk about here is Chris Christie and when he's going to drop out. He claims he's not going to drop out until New Hampshire. I think that's true. I think he will not drop out until New Hampshire. He's not going to win Iowa. He knows he won't win Iowa. There's a small probability that he'll drop out before the Iowa caucus because of how badly he's been doing in the polls recently. But that's a small probability. He claims he won't drop out until after New Hampshire. We'll watch and see that. I don't think... It depends. There's a possibility he'll fall back on his claim and he won't try to stay in through New Hampshire. Tim Scott, on the other hand, I think he's done. In the middle, I think he's dropping out next month. He's not going anywhere. His campaign has already paused campaign ads because he's actually pretty low on cash on hand anyway. So it doesn't make sense to have these campaign ads. He's not bringing in very much money. It just doesn't make sense for him to be running for president anymore. So I believe he's going to be dropping out next month. I could be wrong. It's very possible he'll stay in through the Iowa caucus because they're in January this year. Or this time, but I don't think he's going to be. I think he's dropping out very shortly. We'll see what happens, though. So this race, this entire debate was a very interesting debate. I learned essentially nothing. That's not true. I learned one thing. Okay, Nikki Haley had one criticism of Ron DeSantis. She said Ron DeSantis banned fracking in the whole state of Florida. Ron DeSantis, with a, you know, credit where credit's due, he has a very good confused look. He says... he said he didn't, and Nikki Haley was like, what? And he was like, okay, I did it in the Everglades. So here's what I think about that. If you ban fracking in the Everglades, you're not banning it in the entire state of Florida, because obviously it's just the Everglades. And yes, you should ban fracking in the Everglades. People go to the Everglades to see the natural beauty. It's literally a state park. I think it's actually a national park, my bad. I've never been there, so correct me if I'm wrong. It's a beautiful part of this country. People go there to see that beauty, and not just the grass and the wetlands, but the wildlife there too. And yes, if you do fracking throughout the entire wetlands, or the wetlands, Everglades, then what you're gonna have is that entire environment ruined, because it does ruin the environment. In that specific area where you're doing it. Fracking does do that. The thing that the reason why I'm okay with it in areas that aren't national parks is because it doesn't matter. You can just keep doing it. It squeezes the way fracking works is it squeezes the oil out of every single little bit of matter in that area. Not matter, but material in that area. And so doing that in the Everglades would completely destroy it, and no one would want to go there anymore. It would destroy the Floridian economy because the Floridian economy is based more on tourism than it is on oil. So it just makes no sense to allow it in the Everglades. On the other hand, in other places, like if you want to do it in the middle of Arizona, I literally do not care. You destroy Arizona, it's already destroyed. It's literally just a desert. I do not care. You want to do it in the middle of Texas? Fine. Middle of Texas is a lot. Actually, the middle of Texas is awesome. It's a pretty big city. If you want to do it in western Texas, fine. It's a pretty big wasteland. It does not matter if you do it there. You understand what I'm saying? Fracking is not necessarily a bad thing unless you do it in a beautiful national park. Then it could be a pretty bad thing. That's basically the episode for today. I just wanted to quickly, touch on the debate, everything that's going on, and who I think is poised to win. I still think that Trump, yeah, it's. I think Trump is going to win. I think there's an 87%. I'm 87% certain he's that Trump is going to get the nominee. And if Trump gets the nominee, I am 56% certain that he wins the presidency. And that's a pretty low certainty rate. So I think we need a new person. I think we need DeSantis up there. And if DeSantis gets the nominee, I actually think there's a pretty high chance he wins the presidency. But yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in today. I'll catch you all later. Adios. God bless you.